Hello and welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation, all for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. With me today is Matt Dunfield. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So you're going to talk to us about a trip that sounds like an absolutely terrific adults-only couples trip.
That is correct. It was in the fall.
Yeah. All right. So give us some of those basics. It was a fall trip. You were down, end of September, beginning of October?
That's correct. We were down there for Halloween Horror Nights at Universal. We went to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. We also celebrated Epcot's 30th anniversary and did the inaugural 5K for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror weekend.
Excellent. So an eventful trip. Why don't you kind of walk us through, first of all, just the kind of origins of this trip? How did you decide to take an adults-only trip? You said you were focused on the Halloween Horror Nights offering at Universal.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go down to the Halloween Horror Nights, and I've been watching the announcements of the mazes that were being included, and they just got more and more interesting with the Alice Cooper maze and the Penn & Teller Nuke Las Vegas, and then what really got us was the Walking Dead Dead Inside maze. So we decided, yeah, we're going to go down, and then after we decided we're going down, Disney came out with a free dining promotion, so we decided to extend the trip to include everything else.
Excellent. Always nice when you kind of stumble into those kinds of things. So you headed down, you started your trip at Universal. Did you check out the Universal parks aside from Halloween Horror Nights at all, or were you there just for Horror Night?
We spend a lot of time at Universal parks, but this time we decided we were going to be there from the opening of Islands of Adventure. We spent all day basically in Islands of Adventure, basically to ourselves because the place was deserted. We literally walked on all the rides, and when we got to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, there was like a 10-minute wait, and the only reason there was a 10-minute wait is because the ride went down.
Wow.
And then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we hopped over to Universal, and we took in the new Despicable Me ride and checked out the Destruction of Jaws.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was right when they were in the midst of demolition there. So – and that was that the only day you spent in the Universal parks during this trip?
Yeah. And
okay.
With the crowds, there was no reason to spend more than a day there. Because
sure.
By the time we got there at 2 o'clock, the Universal was closing at 5 to get everybody ready for the Halloween Horror Nights. And even by that time, we got to ride everything we wanted to ride. And it got to the point where I actually rode the Rip Rockin' roller coaster about 5 times in a row.
Yeah. So if you had to choose, say, you know, one favorite experience from Islands of Adventure and one favorite from the Universal theme park from this trip, what would those be?
I'd say probably riding Spider-Man at Islands of Adventure like 4 times in a row with no wait. And then over at Universal for the parks, I'd say Despicable Me was actually a really, really nice ride. And they did a really good job with that.
So Despicable Me is one of the newest attractions at Universal. And, you know, we don't talk about the Universal stuff a whole lot. So maybe you could tell us a little bit more about the Despicable Me attraction.
They basically recreated Gru's house in the waiting area, from all the weird designs and stuff they had in the house. And you basically, the whole premise is Gru needs minions, and he's going to take you through a training camp to become a minion. And I don't know how much of a spoiler you want, but the storyline is it's the anniversary of Gru adopting the three girls.
Oh, okay.
And then you go into another room, and, you know, he starts explaining how – he's going to minionize people. And, you know, it's very comical. Then you go into the big theater. It used to be the Jimmy Neutron and Hanna-Barbera Theater, which they really didn't do much makeover in there as that. But it's a really great 3D adventure that, you know, you have to ride it several times to keep to get all the details and see what all the other minions are doing. But it's it can be a little scary for kids in some points, but it's at the end, you know, you end up at a dance party and then you exit out through a little area where they actually have some minions with a photo op and a little dance party going on and a minion store.
Wow, it sounds like a really nice upgrade to that old, you know, Jimmy Neutron ride, which my kids liked it because they were Jimmy Neutron fans, but, you know, it sounds like they've really enhanced that whole area.
Yeah, and we actually got one of the last rides on Jimmy Neutron the previous year before they shut down. So it definitely is an upgrade. It's still the old Jimmy Neutron seats, so there are some really jerky motions, but there are definitely the non-motion seats in there that are really good. And it doesn't pay to rush right in because you can get sat on one of the sides, and sometimes the views on the sides aren't that great.
Ah, good point. Okay, so you started with that, and then you had Halloween Horror Nights, and you know, that really is an adult experience. I mean, we want to be real clear for people. If you want to do a family Halloween experience in Orlando, you know, Mickey's Not So Scary is great. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Halloween Horror Nights at Universal is really an adult experience. Why don't you give people kind of a picture of what Halloween Horror Nights is all about?
The way I like to look at Halloween Horror Nights, it's like a nightclub that's been put into a horror movie. There's a lot of detail. And one of the great things about this year's Halloween Horror Nights was there used to be scare zones where you could walk through and have like characters scaring people. This year there was no scare zone, so no place was safe. So they had people with chainsaws and zombies and stuff like that that would actually chase people into the stores and, you know, scare them. And it added another great element to the party.
So it's basically the monsters have taken over the theme park.
That's correct. And, I mean, there's props set up all over the place, and then there's the mazes that are off to the off in the sound stages or in the backstage areas. There's a lot of alcohol all over the place, and there's like they had nurses selling like shots to people out in the roads and stuff like that along the way. And like you said, it's definitely not child friendly. We saw a couple of kids there with some parents and we're like, what were you thinking? Cause the kids were completely traumatized.
And so the biggest complaint I usually hear from people about Halloween Horror Nights is that it gets really crowded and they feel like they didn't get to experience, you know, there's so much there, but it gets crowded and they don't get to go through as many of the mazes or haunted houses as they wanted to. I think you chose a good time. You went right at the beginning of the season. Did that help? Were you able to get through and see what you wanted to see?
We got to see all of the mazes, but there was a snafu. We were on there on a Thursday night, which is notoriously supposed to be the slowest night. And we didn't think we needed to buy the express pass for the mazes because we were right there when things opened up. We walked on to Gothic for our first maze, and it's very deceptive because how far back they are in the sound stages that you have to walk back to them.
So it makes the transit time from one to the next a lot bit more than you would expect.
Right, you got at least a 10-minute walk back to most of the attractions, and then like I said, the lines are hidden so you don't see them. And we got through the first maze and got out and like, what do you mean there's 45-minute waits for all the mazes already? And so we went and bought the express pass. And the thing that was stressed to us was the normal express pass during the regular park hours will get you, quote-unquote, front-of-line access. With this one, with the Halloween Horror Nights, they were saying it only would cut your wait time down in half.
Okay.
So, probably about 2 hours into the event, the wait times for most of the mazes were up to 2 to 3 hours.
Wow.
We basically only did each maze once.
Yeah, and this is like the end of September, right? So Halloween Horror Nights, this must have been within the first, you know, 2 weeks or so of maybe 3 weeks of opening, yeah?
Yeah, because the first weekend, it was, they said it was a complete rainout. So I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it.
Oh, okay. Might have.
But there were similar complaints throughout the rest of the season saying that, you know, we bought the express pass thinking we could walk right in, and, you know, we still got 45 minutes to an hour wait to get into a maze.
Wow. So can you give us a quick summary of the major mazes? I know we talked about Alice Cooper, Penn and Teller. What else?
Oh, yeah, there was Gothic, which was a walkthrough of a – basically, you're like in an old European church, and they did a really good job with that. And, you know, the gargoyles came to life. The Universal House of Horrors used the old Frankenstein, Dracula – monsters that Universal has the rights to, and they made it like a black and white maze, so it was definitely, it was really interesting with the lighting and stuff like there. It was very minimal, but it definitely had the effect.
Sort of like walking into a black and white horror movie.
Yes, definitely. And then Alice Cooper Welcome to the Nightmare, basically Alice Cooper's albums from the 70s all the way up to present time, acted out by Alice Cooper lookalikes and stuff like that. The star of the show is definitely The Walking Dead. They had very iconic props and zombies from the television, the first two seasons of the television shows. You walk from the department store past the RV into the barn. All that good stuff, and it was done really well. Penn and Teller's Nuke Las Vegas was really great. It was 3D, very graphic, very gory, very adult-oriented. And we didn't get fortunate enough to see it, but Penn and Teller actually themselves were part of the maze. I was amazed at some of the nights they were there.
Oh, cool.
Gothic, we already went over, and there was Dead End, which really had no storyline. But it was a house basically built in one of the sound stages. It was extreme details, just a lot of people jumping out, scaring you.
Okay, so sort of the classic haunted house.
Right. And then there was Welcome to Silent Hill, based on the movies and video games.
Right.
That was just I've never played the games, never watched the movies. There's a lot of people that do, and it failed on us. We were like, this is just weird.
Yeah.
We have no idea what's going on in this and what these characters are.
All right. So if you had to pick a favorite, what was your favorite maze?
I would probably go with Penn and Teller's maze. It was really, that was done really, really well.
And that was a new one for this year, yeah?
That's correct. Well, every year they're new. I don't think they ever repeat a maze in consecutive years.
Ah, okay. Nice to know. So it's always going to be something fresh.
Right. Right, and they always seek out the licenses, and they currently said they finally got their first license for this year already, so they're already in the planning stages.
Cool. All right, so that was the Universal piece. You did get to extend your trip into Disney World thanks to that free dining promotion that opened up, and you know, you made the most of some Disney time with running a race and the. The not so scary Halloween party, and also, you know, being lucky to be there to celebrate Epcot's 30th. There's a lot to talk about there, so let's kind of try and knock out each of those kind of big events one at a time. Why don't you tell me which one of those came first?
What came first was the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party.
Okay, and so you did that shortly after the Halloween Horror Nights, a totally different Halloween celebration experience. Had you done Mickey's Not So Scary before?
No, this was our first time.
And okay.
It was the day right after being up from 7 a.m. till after midnight.
Wow.
So it was a cram-packed day there, too, because we started out with breakfast at Crystal Palace and then split half the day there, went to the Health and Wellness Expo to get our stuff for the 5K run that was going to be the following morning. And then came back about 4 o'clock to get into the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. We picked up our wristbands and proceeded to play our first round of Sorcery of the Magic Kingdom. And waited for the party to start. We decided to go down one of the trick-or-treat trails over in new area where the Storybook Circus is. And before we even got halfway through the trail, we had so much candy we didn't know what to do with. So we just skip out on that. And then, you know, Space Mountain was walk-on. Winnie the Pooh was walk-on. Splash Mountain was all walk-on because all these kids were down the trails and stuff. But it was very, very family friendly. We enjoyed watching the ghost outside of the Haunted Mansion. It was definitely different character meet and greets that go on. And the highlights of the night would probably have been the villain show that was definitely unique to the Halloween, the Mickey, Not So Scary Halloween.
Yeah, I love that villain show, and they do a nice job of changing it up just a little bit each year. They kind of feature a different villain now or then. Somebody else takes the front role. I know there's a lot of complaint often that Disney kind of rolls out the same thing each time for Mickey's Not So Scary, but the villains party or the villain show is one of the areas where they do kind of change things up.
Right. And then We didn't know how crowded things were going to be for the fireworks, the Hallowicious show. So we grabbed a spot right out in front of the plaza, the restaurant there in front of the castle to watch the show. And that's the first time we've ever seen the fireworks in the round there. And that was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I love those perimeter fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, it's great watching the families there trick-or-treating in costume. Some people put a lot of effort into their costumes. There are kids walking away with tons of different types of candies. We got a special card for the Sorcery of the Magic Kingdom. But, I mean, we had a sold-out party, and even though it was a sold-out party, the rides were walk-on, and it didn't seem crowded at all.
So did you get a chance to watch the parade, the Booty You Parade?
Yes, we watched the Headless Horseman, and we watched the parade. You know, the characters come down in Halloween costumes and everything. Watching the ghosts from the Haunted Mansion, which you don't see in a normal parade, were kind of cool, and the grave diggers scraping the shovels across the cement, causing sparks. It's definitely a very unique parade for Halloween, and nothing like you've seen in any of the other parades.
Right.
So
if you had to pick maybe, you know, two highlights of the Halloween party, what would you say were the best parts?
I would say the ghost from the Haunted Mansion sitting out interacting with people. And then I would definitely say the Hallowicious fireworks show.
And then maybe just to, you know, a quick comparison of the experience of Mickey's Not So Scary versus Halloween Horror Nights.
It was very upbeat at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. And the other thing, you didn't have to worry about people getting into fights and a lot of drunk people. And that was there was an extremely high police presence at Universal Studios for Halloween Horror Nights because of the amount of alcohol and the people not being able to control their alcohol consumption.
Right. So you had a late night at Universal. Then you had a late night at Mickey's Not So Scary. Yeah. And then you had a 5K to run.
Yes.
So tell me about dealing with that 5K.
Well, the 5K, we had no idea what to expect. When we walked into the health expo, we were overwhelmed with the amount of booths and people there to separate you from your money. there was lines for all the special commemorative items. We picked up a few pins, a couple T-shirts, and based on the amount of people we saw at the expo, we decided that, well, the run starts at 7 a.m., so it might be a good idea for us to get there about 5, which we're staying at Pop Century, which was not a host resort, so we had to drive ourselves.
Ooh, challenge.
Yeah, it was a challenge, and it was right – I mean, Pop Century and the ESPN Wild World of Sports are right next to each other almost, and – you know, it was a quick drive. We got a parking spot, and it was a good thing we got there because Mickey was coming out of his trailer to do photo shoots, and we didn't have to wait in line. And about 15 minutes after that, the line was quickly moved. They said they were telling people, you know, you got about you got about 2 hours here to get your picture taken with Mickey. You might not make your corral. So we basically got our picture taken, got in our corral. We were one of the last corrals to go off. Enjoyed the entertainment that they had for the morning, which was a couple guys with a DJ. They were trying to do a comic routine.
I catch that you didn't think that they particularly succeeded.
Well, since this was the first 5K for this, it's like they didn't expect as many people, and they kept doing the same jokes over and over again. And being the last corral to go off, you know, it got old really quick.
Ah, yeah, you'd already heard it a few times.
Yes. And then we went off through the wooded areas of the ESPN Wild World of Sports, where they had bugs up in the tree. They had Briar Bear and Briar Fox out doing meet and greets. They had a coffin with grave diggers out in one of the track areas. And that was probably about all they had for displays, maybe a couple pirate ships out there. And it was extremely warm for that time of year and extremely foggy. Right. But we ran into a lot of different types of runners out there. We had the military dad drilling his children how to run. We had people that would run about 10 feet, and that's all about they could do.
Right.
But it was fun. We got our medals. We got our nice little gift pack at the end with some energy bars, bananas, and Powerade. One of the things I thought was kind of cool is as I crossed the finish line, a couple eagles flew over. So,
oh, nice.
Bonus. But it was a really good experience. And just as we were leaving, they were starting the kids races. And we made it back to our hotel. The wife passed out for being out so long. And I went down to the pool. So.
All right. Sounds good. And then, you know, one other big event on this trip, you happened to be at Walt Disney World for Epcot's 30th birthday, which, you know, Disney caught a lot of flack a few years ago for not doing a very good job of acknowledging Epcot's 25th birthday. And I got the impression that they were, you know, trying to rectify that a bit with the 30th and do, you know, some special events and things for the 30th. Were you participating in any of those special events or just kind of hanging out at the park?
Well, it was also the Wine and Harvest, the Wine and Festival also, Wine and Food Festival. So we did take part in one of the ceremonies they had mid-afternoon where Meg Crofton came out and acknowledged people that had been there since the day the park had been open. That got really boring really quick. As you entered the park, they handed you out a 30th anniversary pin, which was just a regular old pin like the celebration pins they have. You got a special commemorative map. Even before we got in there, you could tell it was going to be a special day because they started playing in Journey to Imagination, one little spark song, and half of the audience started singing the words.
Yeah, you were amongst the hardcore fans.
Yes. We also ran into Adam LaRue there, who recently got banned from Disney.
Yeah.
We also had run into him at Universal Studios that day, too. But the firework display they put on was phenomenal after Illuminations. It's probably the most fireworks I've ever seen in my entire life. That was the culmination of the whole night. And then, you know, there really wasn't very much going on besides the small presentation. And then there was an upcharge thing that we didn't want to pay for. They had some talks with some of the Imagineers.
Right. I remembered seeing that there were a number of those kind of, you know, added, I think they refer to them as added value experiences, which generally means that they're going to reach into your pocket for a little bit more money.
Right. And we also got to see Sugar Ray before Illuminations playing as part of the Wine and Harvest Festival there also. But, you know, it was a crowded day. Like I said, we started watching the Meg Crofton presentation and just got really bored and left because it was dry. We were hoping maybe there'll be some announcements since this is October 1st about, you know, what's going to happen with the rest of the resort. But basically, it was the pins, the special presentations that cost extra money, people were lining up for the commemorative items for the 30th anniversary. At one point, it went from Mouse Gears all the way over the bridge into Mexico.
Wow.
And the special Vinylmation sold out really quick, and one of the special 30th anniversary pins sold out really quick. We didn't even bother going to Mouse Gears until about 6 o'clock that night, but they still had plenty of shirts, plenty of other pins that weren't special, and picked up the merchandise that we wanted for the kids. And then staked out our spot for the fireworks show, watched that, and left for the night.
All right. Well, so despite the big crowd, were you able to experience the attractions you wanted to experience at Epcot?
Yep, we got on everything. Very little waits on everything. The only one that had the long wait was Soarin'. We got on that pretty much first thing in the morning and decided not to go back for the rest of the day.
Right.
We actually were able to walk up and get dining reservations for the Oscar House, which was really rare.
Huh. Yeah, that is surprising.
And, and World Showcase just seemed empty throughout the whole day until about the evening time when everybody started to come out for the special illuminations.
Sure. So let's just talk generally a little bit about, this being an adults-only trip. First of all, obviously, in your case, you had a specific thing that motivated you to take an adults-only trip because you originally thought this trip was just going to be Halloween Horror Nights and it's just not kid-appropriate. Have you taken adults-only trips before?
Actually, this is the first adult-only trip I've taken in 17 years.
All right. And so would you recommend that to your fellow Diz Dads?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mean, especially this time of year with very little lines, it's – you get to do a lot more things where it's not very kid oriented. When we're going down here again here shortly, and my daughter and stepdaughter are all already planning which rides we're going on. Where with us, we could just okay, we've been here for a couple hours. Now let's take the monorail here and just chill out and let's tour the resorts. So we didn't actually have to be inside the parks the entire time. We got to do a lot of things outside the parks we normally wouldn't do since we had the kids.
Sure, sure. So your trip was more flexible as an adults-only trip. If you had to pick the two things that were the best things about this being an adults-only trip, what would they be?
I would have to say the flexibility and ability to get out of the room whenever we wanted to without having to get everybody organized and on the same page. And then since there was only the two of us, not having to take a vote which park we're going to. and the other thing is since it was an adult-only trip, we didn't have to worry about, we were able to do more adult things like, have adult beverages that we kind of abstain from when we have our children around. So it was definitely more adult-oriented and being able to, just have time away from the kids with the wife.
Right. Able to relax and let your guard down just a little bit.
That's correct.
All right. Well, it sounds like it was a terrific trip. Well, thank you to Matt Dunfield for sharing his trip on the Dad Show today. We'll be back again, actually a day early. We'll be live on Saturday, April 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central. The live broadcast will take place on Mixlr, mixlr.com/DizDadsPodcast. Hope to see you there.